Can you believe it? Dreamers Podcast is turning 1 year old on May 16th. To celebrate, I am hosting a live online event May 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For all the details, go to howtodream.co/year. I hope to raise lots of money for Give Kids the World charity and make a lot of fun memories. See you then.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I am talking with Michelle Talbert, who is making her dreams come true by helping women be successful entrepreneurs. Glad to have you on the show, Michelle.
I'm so happy to be here, Joe. Thank you.
Glad that, I was on your show a little while ago, and I'm happy to have you on my show because obviously you're making your dreams come true by helping others make their dreams come true.
Yeah, and you are doing the same and shedding light on folks who are doing that. So I just love the synergies there, man.
As do I. So, Michelle, why don't you get started by giving some background about yourself?
Absolutely. I grew up in Queens, New York, so I'm a New Yorker. And of course, New Yorkers have to work that into every possible exchange we can. I graduated from high school when I was 17. I met my who would be husband, and we got married when I was 18. Had our son when I was 19, my daughter when I was 20. And by my 22nd birthday, I was a single divorced mom with two children in diapers and under 3 years old. I had a high school education. I knew that I wanted more out of life. I was working as a secretary during the day and started taking classes at the community college when I was pregnant with my daughter, actually, at night. And so fast forward almost 10 years, I was recruited to go up to Cornell University. And so my children and I moved up to Ithaca, New York, where I completed my education, graduated, and then we went to Philly to be so that I could attend law school, and graduated law school, came back down to the DC area, practiced law, and realized I hated it. So I had gone through that entire journey to achieve a particular outcome and did not love the outcome. So the next phase was sort of, okay, well, what happens next? And so my children obviously were getting up in age. And after my daughter graduated high school, I left the full-time practice of law and really sort of was able to sink my teeth into being an entrepreneur. And I have loved it. Started in the online dating sphere, wrote a book. And after that, many women came to me and said, you know, how do you learn about tech and entrepreneurship and different opportunities? And I realized that somehow my journey was leading as an educational tool for people. And so I said, well, what are some of the best ways to reach folks? And podcasting is one of those. So Her Power Hustle was launched in 2015. And it really is a great platform. And we're doing a lot within the women entrepreneurial community to really bring resources to women to inspire and motivate them as they sort of walk their own journey. So it really has been about the journey being the lesson. And I'm loving it. It's really been great.
I love when you can turn your experience or watching other people's experience into something that can help other people, not just yourself, right? Because not only are you helping yourself by getting out there in the entrepreneur world, especially digitally, because I feel like the right around my age, if you go just a little bit older than me, there's like a huge gap. There's a huge disconnect for most of those people when it comes to technology. Mm-hmm. Would you agree? I mean, I'm 28. So I feel like anyone that's pretty much at the age of like 31, 32, there's pretty much a pretty big disconnect there.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. Maybe my parents' generation, the baby boomers, maybe. But I think I'm Gen X, right? We learned computers in school, and we had computers. I mean, it was basic, and we had Atari. So, I mean, we're used to technology. Technology has changed. But no, I think for me, what I find is that people have become very, I mean, my grandmother's on Facebook. So there might be a steeper learning curve for folks as they get older. But everybody, I think, has come to realize that technology is here. Technology is here to stay. And it's a great vehicle to be used. I mean, like I said, it came out of the online dating sphere. And what I did, my co-author of our book, and I met online, and we dated and wrote the book after we broke up. And that was 4 years ago. And we went out and about helping folks in their 40s date after divorce and date later in life and teaching them those skills. So what I did find was that, to your point, I think technology as a vehicle for certain areas of our lives that we might feel is a little bit more private is a little bit slower going, right? So there are 20-somethings that are jumping on Tinder left and right. 40-somethings, not so much. So that I could see that gap, but they understand technology is there. They just don't know necessarily how to use it best. You know, if that's to your point.
Well, I'm curious, though, now that you mention it, what was it like working with your ex-boyfriend?
Oh, well, I mean, we're still business partners. It's awesome. We're best friends. And the reason that that works is because we were cool people. And we realized that as people, we're great. We're great as friends. We're not great in any type of romantic capacity. And I think because we're both on the same page about that, it works really fine. And when we go out, you know, the first couple of years, people just kept trying to say, no, you guys are back together. We know you're back together. It's been 4 years. So people have finally stopped saying it. For the most part, there are still those who say, nah, you guys are going to end up together. But, you know, it really is just, you know, someone really, really well, and you're able to sort of play off of each other's strengths. And for he and I, that's really how that works out. And we give, and it works in the dating sphere because we can give he said, she said information to people, and it really resonates.
So what were some of the first steps that you took when you were getting started with podcasting?
Well, I actually recorded my first podcast in 2009. I'm an OG. I recorded 3 episodes, and you'll love the title of this one, Joe. It was called Dust Off Your Dream. And I recorded 3 episodes. It was really about dreams deferred, right? Because when I went to college full time, I was 27. I graduated with my undergrad degree when I was 30. So, you know, with 2 kids. And so it was really about, well, this was the dream that I had, dust it off, and helping other people dust off those dreams as well and pursue whatever their life's passion is. So that was the beginning of podcasting, because I had just started listening to podcasts and I loved them. And I thought, wow, what a great way to reach people. But I didn't have a community or the wherewithal, I guess, at that time to really make it work. So I put it back down again. I think for me, when I picked it back up full time after doing a little stint on Blog Talk Radio in 2012, we picked it back up in 2013 when we launched They Met Online. And really, we were at a station as opposed to a home studio, because I thought the infrastructure would help with feeling professional and having the equipment and really being on structure, because we had to be there during certain scheduled hours. So for us starting off, I really wanted to have as much information and support as possible. So that was the best way for us to launch. And after a year, we then, you know, went to home studio and it was fine. But for me, I really wanted to be sure that I was in the right environment to have the technology to bring as high quality a show as possible.
Wow. So I couldn't even imagine recording in a realistic studio. I think that's awesome that you were able to bring that to the table at the time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And what was great about it from a marketing perspective was that it was actually a station that has other high profile names and shows on it. So we were on their roster. so we could self-promote as well as being promoted by the quote-unquote station. I think there are more and more types of podcasting stations that are popping up as people see the popularity with podcasting and being able to provide people with recording equipment. And you know, we had dedicated phone lines. It was a radio station for all intents and purposes.
Hey, did you happen to see that, was it Norway is going to be canning their FM radio soon?
Like in 2017? No, I didn't see that at all.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
Like there's no live radio anymore for the entire country?
Apparently in 2017 the FM radio will be dead.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like another set of frequencies that they plan on using or something to that effect, or if maybe I didn't read into it, but maybe it's just like it's all state run. So it's like, well, it's eating up a bunch of money. Nobody's really listening anyway.
That's what I was thinking.
Let's just keep it open for emergencies, you know?
That's exactly what I was thinking, that if it's state run, I could see why they would do that. But still, you want to be able to get information out to your people in some kind of vehicle or platform. So it'll be interesting. I guess the state will have a podcast.
Hey, as long as everybody's got internet access.
Yeah, right. Well, as long as they're your generation, I guess they'll be okay.
Yeah.
We old geezers, I don't know.
So how did your family take all this change once you decided that you were going to start down an entrepreneur path?
Well, what's funny is I think my family has just come to accept the fact that I'm a little different. And I'm sure your listeners would resonate with your listeners and being different as being dreamers, creatives, entrepreneurs. So yeah, they're kind of like, oh, that's just Michelle doing her thing again. Oh, she wrote a book with her ex. Yeah, that makes sense. That's Michelle. You know, it's just, I think I always sort of refer to myself as a quester. I'm always just on a quest. I don't know if you remember, there was a game called Zelda that came out years and years and years ago. Okay. Well, Zelda is actually my favorite video game and the video game that made me stop playing video games. Because we got my son Zelda for like his 6th birthday or something like that. And I spent 6 months playing the game until I finished it because I knew that it had a finish, which was to, you know, free the princess. And I realized then I'm completely goal driven. So my family is very used to me setting a goal and going after it, setting a goal and going after it. And it could just seem so far afield. But if I set the goal and I put my mind to it, I just feel like it's meant for me to achieve, you know? And they're just used to it at this point. I think they're just so used to it. My kids are like, that's just mom. I mean, they're in their 20s now. So they were there for every milestone. And I think that actually that helped make them who they are because they're very spirited individuals, but yet they also set goals and achieve their own goals as well. But they also believe that anything is possible. You can live anywhere in the world. You can do anything you want to do. You can be anything. There are really no limitations except for those that you place on yourself.
Oh, I mean, that's so true. We hope that every day we can impart on the generation younger than us that they don't have to have the limits that we grew up with, especially with technology and things being so open and quick, so much quicker than they once were. That
right.
Your idea can go from just a thought to paper to all of a sudden being around the world and getting funded before you even have a product or a company.
Speaking of, there was a gentleman recently, I think this week, he just raised a round of $2 million for nothing. Literally nothing. I posted it in my community today and it went viral. Everybody is reading and commenting and sharing that story. But basically what he did was he put together like a 5-page pitch deck and went out and spoke with investors. He did put in effort. You know, I'll send you the article. But basically what he did was he said, I don't know what our idea is going to be, but I'm going to put together a really cool team of folks who have deep knowledge and we're going to create something. So fund us to create something because we're smart enough to create something. But we don't know what that something is until we all come together and you give us your money. And he raised $2 million.
It takes all kinds.
He's like the Seinfeld of VC. You know, it's like a company about nothing. But to your point, yes. I mean, you can go from idea or not to fully funded company.
Wow. I don't know. That takes a lot of guts to even tell anybody. Like, yeah, I'm gonna raise all this money, and they say for what? And you're like, I don't know. We're gonna get there though.
Well, what was cool? I mean, I'm gonna send you the link to the story if you want to share it with your listeners, because what he put a lot of effort into it. This was not just I walk in off the street and say, hey, I'm gonna do nothing. Give me money. He really put he got trained on like Louis C.K. stand up comedian trainer trained him to put together his pitch, and he really was thoughtful about who the team should be, not by name, but by experience level. And he said, look, if you put together these five people that I plan to put together with these strengths, we can't help but create something that's going to make you money. And he got it. Right. So there's an idea. I mean, my show is called Her Power Hustle for a reason. There's a hustle that's involved, and hustle in a good way, like do the work. You have to do the work. But if you have a good idea or not, if you have a good concept for an idea, you can find buy-in if you present it properly. So, you know, communication is the other piece of that as well.
I'd like to see him on Shark Tank.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't think it would go over quite as well.
Well, you know, what's funny is money is money is money. So, yeah, maybe he wouldn't go over well on Shark Tank, but he sure did raise $2 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. That's for sure.
It would make good TV.
It would. Yeah. Just step out with a blank, you know, Dimitri Martin with like the piece of paper, like those big pieces of paper that you would draw on, like on an easel, and just like, okay, here's my idea. And then it's just a blank piece of paper.
Right. Exactly.
So what's been the biggest roadblock on your journey of being an entrepreneur?
Well, I would say maybe at the outset in terms of bootstrapping, right? I heard Biz Stone, one of the founders of Twitter, say that restriction, the reason, you know, talking about the 140 characters, that restriction and constriction lead to creativity. And I would say it's sort of a mixed blessing, right? When you're bootstrapping your business, because you don't have, you know, unlimited amounts of capital to hire a team and put people in place. So you're learning everything. And sometimes you feel like you're so in the weeds. Like just yesterday, the simplest thing, I connected a Twitter card to my MailChimp mailing autoresponder account, right? And it was supposed to take less than an hour. Of course, it took me 2.5 hours to do. And it was something simple, but I figured it out finally. Those are the kind of things where you're like, maybe that should have been farmed out, you know? But if you're bootstrapping or if you're in the midst of it, you don't always have that luxury. And so I would say that sometimes is the biggest challenge, is that you are the chief cook, bottle washer, server, cashier, you're everything. And that's all, I think most entrepreneurs have felt that at the outset when they're starting their business.
So yeah, so it's awesome when you're getting started and you know, time is all you have, right? You don't have a ton of money to just be like, oh, I'll just pay someone to do that and move on with my life. And I see that now as I'm getting deeper into my journey, that like, hey, this hour that I'm doing, that's taking me to do something, I probably, you know, if I'm not getting it in the first 5 to 10 minutes, then maybe I should, instead of going down that rabbit hole, I should either reach out for help or find someone I could pay to do that for me.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm still not deep enough in the rabbit hole to make money yet, but I'm getting there. And as I get there, I'm starting to see like, oh, well, I could be doing other things than this with that hour time. And I could figure out how to, you know, how much money can I make in that hour versus how much it would cost me to just have it done.
Absolutely. That's that cost benefit analysis. If I can spend $10 for an hour that I can earn $100, then the $90 difference makes it worthwhile to pay the 10 bucks and go do some other activity. But it's just a matter of where and how can you do that? Do you even have the 10 bucks to shell out? You know, so that's always the key. But that's the reality. But it's also kind of like the beauty in being an entrepreneur. It's the beauty in chasing your dreams. It is that creativity that comes from constraint. And I think I wouldn't necessarily have it any other way, because I can't exactly tell people. They say that before you hire a house cleaner, you should always clean your house at least once yourself, like exactly how you want it. So you understand exactly what is involved with creating your vision. So I could see that it's important, at least at some points, to be able to do every single thing, and then you farm them out.
I love that analogy. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true.
So, Michelle, what was your childhood dream growing up?
You know, I don't know. Isn't that interesting? I really don't know, because I know I said I wanted to be a lawyer. And then, to be quite frank, life just kind of came along, because so much of my life unfolded so early. I graduated high school when I was 17, and, you know, in 4 years later, I'm, you know, in a different position. I was a mom. And so I don't know that I had a lot of time to sit around and think about what I would be. And younger than that, yeah, I thought, okay, be a lawyer. I did want to go into the military at one point, and that's what I was planning to do when I left high school. I was going to go into the Air Force. I don't know what I want it to be. You know, isn't that interesting? I just don't know. I can tell you what my kids wanted to be. I can't tell you what I wanted to be. I did say lawyer when I was about sixth grade, and that was it.
Well, Michelle, what do your dreams for the future look like?
Oh, yeah. My dreams for the future are really about touching as many lives as possible. To be quite honest, I say millions in my vision statement. To be able to touch the lives of millions of women to help them achieve their dreams. So whether that be through education, entrepreneurial success, being the best moms they could be, being the best wives, lovers, et cetera, that they can be, just really empowering women to achieve their best selves, right? To be able to look at life and say, I'm so glad that this is the journey I took, and this is how I gave back. For me to be able to help other women do that will then enable me to say the same. So that's really the key for me, is really providing resources for women to be able to do that. And whether that's looking at my life and giving advice based on what I've done, or say don't do, which is actually the name of our book, right? Don't do what I did. It's whether it's that through that type of modeling, or it's through curation of resources and finding the best resources to help people along their journey. That's my passion in life. That's it.
No, I love that. I love that you're wanting, you have such a deep passion to want to help people. I feel the same exact way, and have wanted to do that since I was a very young child. So I'm glad that we get to work together on some
things. Me too. I mean, I love it. I mean, it's just really, I love your show. I love your message. I just think that you're an awesome dude, and no, you can't pay me to say this. I really believe this, because I think it's so important. And people, you know, I say to women a lot of times that when men grow up, they don't stop playing. Men still go play golf and basketball and football and tag football or flag football, whatever it's called. And, you know, women, for some reason, we stop playing when we quote unquote grow up. And I think that the same can be said sometimes about dreaming. We look at dreams as a very juvenile or self-indulgent endeavor. And grown-ups don't dream. You know, that's for kids. That's like playing with crayons. But no, that's why your book cover looks the way it looks, is because we're still those people. We're still those kids. But now we can actually achieve those dreams. We can create the means to achieve those dreams. And so I just think that, you know, to follow one's dreams is the way that the world becomes a better place, because we're all walking around fulfilled. You know, I had a guest on who was talking about, you know, we have road rage in the morning to go to some place we don't even want to be. Like, why are we mad for someone slowing us down for getting somewhere where we're not happy to be? But that's our mentality right now. And if we could all just say, let's think about our dreams and dream doesn't have to be sort of like this ephemeral, ethereal concept. A dream can be creating a business. It can be rock solid and concrete and still be beautiful. And so, you know, that's why I love your podcast so much. I just think it's so valuable that we tap back into what are your dreams? What do you hope to achieve? What will make you that self-actualized person that you were put on this planet to be?
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate that. And I wish more people would go after that, you know, go after that thought process of figuring out what it is that they want and the lifestyle that they want to live, and not stop playing just because society, whatever the heck that really is, society says that you should.
Well, society and they, I think they hang out all together. Well, they said and society, they all kind of hang out together.
I mean, I've always said society starts with you, and if you don't see it that way, then you need to live it.
Exactly.
And then that's one person in society that doesn't think that way. So then you could probably find four more people that agree with you. And before you know it, that's a small subset of society, but it's where it begins.
Our own utopia.
Hey, we're living it every day here, Michelle.
We're living a dream, no pun intended. See, there you go. But I'm bumped.
So before we share how people can connect with you, Michelle, I'd love for you to share any last thoughts you might have.
Absolutely. I think that as we talk about these concepts of dreams and dreams and aspirations and goals, that we remember that we don't have to go it alone, that finding great mentors is actually, because of the technology, like we just discussed, even easier now than ever before, to learn from other people, to look at people who we admire, to reach out to them via social media and other means, to read what they've written and listen to their podcasts and, you know, really find out ways to be our best self by following in the footsteps of people who we admire to get there. If we feel like we don't have the tools ourselves, I think we have a lot of access to information to help us just really do which we were created to do, whatever that is, and to live our best lives and be our best selves. So I think for me, it's really just impressing upon people that you don't have to go it alone. You might feel odd, because like I said, I felt odd growing up. Like, why am I like this? Even now, sometimes I'm like, why can't I just sit still and have a job at a desk with a computer all day long? Why can't I do that? But the reality is I can't. And so I have to own it and embrace it and say, okay, well, then what can I do to add value to this world that I am inhabiting? And I think if we all did that, the world would be a much richer and better place.
I couldn't agree more. If people took more time to figure out what it is that they want, then they could figure out how to make it happen or find the people that can help make them happen, make it happen. And it would just be an awesome tumbling effect from there into what it is that is their dream.
And really, it is about shaking perceptions of others, of how we think others see us, or what is the appropriate behavior for someone of our stature or socioeconomic class or education, right? Because people could look at me and say, wait, hold on, you went through all of that, got your law degree by the time you were 33, and now you're not going to use it? Well, of course I'm using it. I'm using it in a different way. I don't go into a law firm every day, but I'm using the education and the experiences that I acquired along the way. And if we could all just free ourselves to say, sometimes it really is not about the destination, it's about the journey. And what did we learn through our various journeys? I think it would just really go a long way to free our minds to be able to pursue our dreams.
Trying to think of another way to say yes, and I agree. Sometimes it gets so repetitive with these answers that I have to give back, like the lead-ins to how what I think. It almost becomes robotic, even though it is what I mean, you know?
Oh, yeah, I have one that's absolutely, that makes absolute sense. I hear myself saying that all the time. It drives me crazy. It's almost like a verbal tic at this point, but it does make absolute sense when my guests say certain things.
Michelle, I would love for people to connect with you. Could you please share how they could do that?
Absolutely. We are Her Power Hustle everywhere. And by everywhere, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, on social media. The website is herpowerhustle.com. And because I really feel very strongly about mentorship and connecting with people who can help you go to your next level, for your listeners, Joe, if they go to herpowerhustle.com/connect-with-influencers, I have free email templates there that people can use to reach out to people who they may think are unapproachable. For instance, in my case in point, I actually used these email templates to reach out to Guy Kawasaki and actually was able to interview him and many others with cold emails. So if your listeners are at all interested in reaching out to folks to help them get to their next level, these emails are really helpful for doing that. And I sort of walk through the step-by-step breakdown of what an email should look like to get attention and get a response. So I would be happy to share that with your listeners at herpowerhustle.com/connect-with-influencers.
Connect with influencers. Ah, I love that. I'm going to be checking that out to compare notes because
yes.
Sometimes I don't get all the right responses I'd like to get.
Well, you know, I sent it out to 5 really influential guys and all 5 of them reply within 24 hours. So I realized I was onto something, and it's really proven helpful for other folks with whom I've shared it, because I really don't think you can do this journey alone. You need the input of people who have either gone before you or done something similar to what you'd like to do. And people want to help. That's what's so great about it. We don't think they want to help, and they actually do.
Michelle, I will have all of those at howtodream.co in the show notes.
Yay. See, I'm still childlike. You got to say yay sometimes. You got to play.
You know, there's another really big announcement that's coming. And for the, you know, the people that do actually listen to the show, Michelle and I are going to be working together very soonish in the next couple months, that is.
Double yay.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I cannot wait to work with you and to be able to sort of share what we have cooking in the lab with both of our audiences. I'm really excited because you, like we said at the top of the show, were interviewed on my show. And so I'm really, really just looking forward to working with you in person and what we have coming up. I think it's going to be so exciting and add so much value because we're dreamers.
Yes. Yes. And we will be doing some kind of event thing down at Podcast Movement. So I can't really say it too much, but we're going to be working together, and it's going to be an awful lot of fun. And it's actually probably going to be a bit tiring because the length of the amount of time that we'll be putting in for it.
It's going to be all good. I have a feeling adrenaline is going to do wonders for us that day.
I believe so too. So anyway, so look forward to hearing more about that upcoming event that takes place at the end of July in future episodes. And I probably would love to have you back on, Michelle, after that as well.
Oh, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. If anything, we should also probably do a little simulcasting while we're there in person. I think that would be a lot of fun too. So I think we can cook up some ways to really make this awesome for everybody. I'd love to come back and chat with you, Joe.
Sounds amazing. Thank you very much again for being on the show, Michelle.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
Hey Dreamers, Joe here. I really appreciate you listening to Dreamers Podcast. If you'd like to find out how to support the show, please visit howtodream.co/support for all the ways you can help out. Thanks for the support, and please keep on dreaming.